Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 75, stanzas 1, 2, and 6. O Lord, to thee I cry, thou art my rock and trust. O be not silent, lest I die and slumber in the dust. 1, 2, and 6 of Psalter 75. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Song of Solomon in the fourth chapter, Song of Solomon chapter 4. But first we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Song of Solomon, Chapter 4. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. And thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. And thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. And thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing, whereof every one bare twins, and none is barren among them. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. And thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks. Thy neck is like the tower of David, builded for an armory, whereon there hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies, until the day break and the shadows flee away. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Thou art fair, all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Shinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse. How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointments than all spices. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue, and the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphor, and with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. So far the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Dustin Grisnick, who must go into the hospital in this week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, and who are we and what are we that we may attempt to draw nigh to thee, to ask thy help and to ask thy blessing, when thou knowest all that lies within us. Lord, forgive all that is within and what comes forth from moment unto moment in our life, and all that is rebellious against thee, all that is walking in ways of vanity and sin. O Lord, could it please thee to instruct us, that thou may quicken us from the dead, that we may receive that new life, if it must be for the first time in our life. Lord, when there was nothing in our life, then wilt thou give it for the first in this day, that thou would spread thy healing wings over each and every one of us who have fallen so deep in our father Adam. And Lord, that is a state of spiritual death. Thou knowest what we are, that we cannot and we have no desire from ourselves to know any other life, and to receive a spiritual life, because we are lovers of this world and all that is passing away. Oh, grant us that life. Lord, what a change there would be in one moment in our heart and in our life, that our heart, instead of cleaving to the dust, may cleave to thee. That our heart, instead of seeking the treasures that are here below, would seek those treasures where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Lord, to whom else can we go but unto thee in this morning hour? Because from our side there is no hope and there is no expectation. But Lord, we look up unto thee. In the beginning of this day, thy holy Sabbath day, when we come together to hear a portion of thy word, Lord, may it be the day of thy good pleasure for our never-dying souls. The moment that thou hast seen fit from that never-begun eternity, to take those who are thine own elect even from before the foundation of the world, and those names that are written in thy book, Lord, then it is possible that there are also those among us that are still in this morning walking with this world in all their desire, and maybe had no desire even to come unto thy house in this morning hour, that would just as soon have stayed in their own home. Maybe that would just as soon have gone out into this world to do this or to do that. And they have come out of form and out of custom, in a way of duty and maybe to satisfy their own conscience. And Lord, oh, could it be that in the heart of such an one in this morning there could be a wonder performed by thy Spirit, that thy Spirit may come and arrest such a one to say thus far and no further, that thy Spirit may come and work within to draw unto thyself, and to make such an one to seek after thee with all their heart and with all their soul and with all their might and power. Lord, then the angels about thy throne would rejoice in this morning hour over one sinner that repenteth. Oh, that thou would glorify then thy own name, and that thou would glorify thy Son's name, who has come into the world to seek and to save that which was lost, and that is not able to ever find that way again. Lord, when thy Spirit will draw, then they will run after thee. Lord, we beseech thee then to look upon thine own covenant that thou hast sworn with thy Son when thou hast promised to give unto him a seed that should serve him. Lord, we do not serve him by nature. Oh, that thou may then do it because thou hast promised it unto him. And wilt thou give the application of that blessed mediatorial work of thy Son in the young ones and in the older ones together? Lord, wilt thou put away the devices of the prince of darkness when he seeks to hold each and every one of us in that state in which we have been born? Lord, may thou bind that strong man armed, and wilt thou cast him out, and wilt thou come in with thy Spirit, and wilt thou renew us unto a new life, a life that shall flee from all the ways of sin and iniquity, and that shall hunger and thirst and desire and run after thee. Lord, we beseech thee to look upon us with our dear children, the time of our life that hastens so fast away. Lord, it is thy own word that we are under in this morning. Oh, that thou may give us also to bring thy word in all purity, and that we may not bring ourselves or our own word, but that thy word may have the preeminence, and that thy word may be sanctified by thy Spirit, as thou even hast promised us, Lord. Wilt thou then look upon thy own word, and remember that word upon which thou hast made us to hope? Lord, wilt thou be with all the afflicted ones in this life? Wilt thou supply for them in the needs and the cares? And then we remember especially the young boy who must receive another operation in the week to come. Lord, we beseech thee, may thou stand on his right and on his left, and on the right and left of the physicians as they performed this surgery. Lord, may thou bless it for the strengthening of his body and for his healing, for his welfare and health. Lord, sanctify the ways to him and also to his loved ones. Wilt thou work through also the means of thy providences, to draw unto thyself, and that thy goodness may lead us all together to a true repentance. Wilt thou go with thy servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world? Oh, do bless their word, Lord. May it be even in this thy holy day and from week to week. Wilt thou give courage and wilt thou give ability and wisdom and harmlessness, and oh, that thou may speak through their mouth. For that is that office that thou hast placed upon them. May it please thee also to give us together a cry to thee for the sake of those who have no under-shepherd. O Lord, that thou may in the weeks to come also, and we hope to meet as a curatorium, that thou may remember us in mercy, and that thou would give, that thou would gladden us with thy deeds, that we may receive those who are from their own strength unable, but who are thrust forth by thee thyself, whom thou wilt go with and whose word thou wilt bless. Be with those who bring thy word over the length and the breadth of the whole world. Be with those who instruct our children from day to day in our own school. Lord, wilt thou be on the right and left also, and give that thy spirit may bless the labors that are performed there, and that our children may receive that which we cannot give to them by thee as that great instructor. Oh, instruct also thy people, and thou knowest their place in this morning hour. Lord, may thou be on their right and left also, when there are those who cannot find a way anymore, and those who fear that it was their own work. Lord, may thou remember thy own. May thou undeceive us if we deceive ourselves. May thou confirm thy own work for the comfort and instruction of thy true people. Lord, wilt thou so look upon us together in thy mercy? Help us in speaking. Take away all that hinders, all that is from man, all that is from self, and oh, that thy word might have free course in this morning hour to young and old. We ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 114, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. As thirst the heart for water brooks, so thirsts my soul, O God, for thee. It seeks for God and ever looks and longs the living God to see, and longs the living God to see. We announce that the last collection today is for the school. The following young people hope to make confession of faith: Miss Alana Shipper, Mr. Eldon Van Cly, Miss Erica Vinny, Mr. Leon Vinny, and Mrs. Joni Vinny. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory. Psalter 114, 1, 2, 3, and 5. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which was from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications with and the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. These all continued congregation with prayer and with supplications. And what is that that they pray for? That is for the fulfillment of the promise of the Lord. Boys and girls, when your mother, your father has promised you something, then you are waiting. Then you are looking. You are waiting for that day that that promise is being fulfilled. How would that be? When your mother or your father would feel that you had no concern, that you could very easily go every day to your play, and that you had no thought at all of that which the Lord, that your father and mother had promised you, and then your parents would think that you had no desire for it. The Lord also makes a promise unto his people. And then his people, and they do not say, well, the Lord has promised it, and they can very easily then go to their places. No, the Lord will have his people look. The Lord will have his people wait for that promise. And so we read it now here also in the Word of God, that the disciples and the women, the people of the Lord, they are waiting, not passively, but they are actively and they are prayerfully waiting for that promise of the Lord to be fulfilled. And what was that promise? The Lord Jesus had said to them, nevertheless, I tell you that it is expedient for you that I go away. Why? Because if I go not away, then the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, then I will send him unto you. Thus, they are waiting for the coming of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. And it is for this that we read they are continuing with prayer and with supplication. Do we also do so? To pray, to wait for that Spirit of the Lord. That is not a strange activity in the life of God's true church. And this we wish to consider together from the Song of Solomon in this morning hour. The fourth chapter, the 16th verse. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. So far the words of our text. The request of the spouse concerning her garden. First, that there may be labors in her garden. Second, that there may be fruits from her garden. And third, that there may be enjoyment in her garden. The request of the spouse concerning her garden, first, that there may be labors upon her garden. Second, that there may be fruits from her garden. And third, that there may be enjoyment in her garden. We know very well, we hear that very often, what the opinion of the bride is concerning her bridegroom. That bride, she cries out that bridegroom, he is the chiefest among 10,000 in her eyes. That he is to her white and ruddy. That he is to her the chiefest among 10,000. But in this chapter, now we hear what is the bridegroom's opinion of his bride. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all of the chief spices. Thus, the bridegroom is comparing his bride to a garden, an orchard we read of, pomegranates, sweetly acidic, juicy, delicious fruit, the pomegranate. And among these pomegranate trees are planted all sorts of precious and useful spices. Whose garden is this? We read when this bride is speaking that she says that it is both his garden and it is also her garden. Blow upon my garden, but that her beloved may come into his garden. Thus, that garden that belongs in the first place to the bridegroom, because it is the bridegroom who has planted this garden. He has plowed up that soil. He has put in the seed, and he is watering, and he is nourishing the plants that are in this garden. But where? Where is this garden planted? The bridegroom says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. Thus, that garden that has been planted within the very heart of that bride, so that that bride, as she is being called herself, this garden, thus it belongs not only to him, but that is a garden that belongs also to her. Thus, in regeneration, then the Lord is plowing up the fallow ground of our heart, and that the Lord is planting in our very heart his own garden, watering that garden. He is planting there those gifts of grace, those gifts of mercy within the heart of his beloved. And what is now the experience of this bride? She says, the Lord has planted a garden in my heart, and now I am not able to bring forth any fruits from that garden that is in my heart. Must she not say that the Lord has looked upon her in mercy? Oh, yes, she is not able to deny this in her life, but she feels a need for more. Because she is not able to bring forth fruit out of that work of the Lord in her life. And therefore, when this bridegroom, he is speaking, and we know that that bride, she has such high thoughts of that bridegroom. And that bridegroom, and what a wonder that that is, to that people of the Lord when they see themselves to be so black. And then that bridegroom is speaking about the beauty of his bride. And then that bride, she has to answer with an acknowledgement of the source from where all that may be good in his eyes that is coming from. What does she say? A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. She says that all must come from above, that she is not able to bring forth one fruit, that she is not able to make anything from that garden of the Lord to grow within her own soul. And if it comes not from him, then it is all barren. And it is all unfruitfulness. That is the way she feels in herself. Then when that bride, as she is contemplating this, then she is breaking out. She breaks out in an earnest supplication unto her bridegroom. And what does she say to him? She says, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out." Thus she desires activity in her garden. An activity that she is not able to give to herself. Oh, people of the Lord, how is it now in your life? Or is that also a burden to you that there is so little activity? No, there is much activity that is going out after the world, yes. But now that spiritual activity, that heart that is drawn after the Lord and the name of the Lord and the day of the Lord and everything of the Lord. Oh, that activity that is from your side, unable to be brought forth. Is it then your burden that everything that is so often so cold and seemingly even so without life at all? That there may be a supplication, that it may be otherwise once again in your life. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. What is that, the wind? The wind, that is often what the Holy Spirit is being compared to in the Holy Scriptures. The Lord Jesus says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." And now how often does that Spirit not seem to be sleeping? That is in the life of God's children. That is also in the midst of the congregation. That we say, where are the true conversions? Where are those who are born again? Where is that new life coming within the church of God? And where are those gardens of the Lord being planted in the hearts of the younger ones, the older ones within our midst? And then within the heart of the church, then there is not one that can bring forth one good desire, that can bring forth one right yearning, one acceptable inclination in the eyes of the Lord. Therefore, the bride, she is crying out, "Awake, come, blow, have dealings with me in a garden that thou hast planted within me. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. What does that mean? That is speaking actually of the different operations of the working of the Holy Spirit. We read actually in the Bible about the seven spirits of God. No, there is not more than one Holy Spirit. There is one Holy Ghost. But that one Holy Ghost has many different influences and many different operations within his own church. And thus, the bride speaks here about a north wind and about a south wind. We know that those who are in the northern hemisphere, wherein also Solomon did dwell, and that when they speak about the north wind, that they are speaking about a wind that is bringing the cold, the bitter cold that is forming the ice, that is breaking apart the clods of earth, actually, in the ground, that they become broken up and ready for that soil, that it may have seed planted in it. That when in the northern hemisphere we speak about the south wind, that is in general a wind that is warmer. And that is the wind that is now breaking those clods of ice, and that is melting, thawing everything. And now both of these, they have an order. Both of these, they need to come in their own time in order for that garden to bring forth its fruit. We cannot have always just the north wind. And we cannot have always just the south wind. There are seeds, boys and girls. There are seeds. Some of them actually, and when they fall from the tree, if there is never a frost, if there is never a freezing, that those seeds will never bring forth. There are some seeds that even need to freeze twice over before that they will germinate in the springtime. Otherwise, that they will never grow. But when that cold and that heat, when that north wind and that south wind, they are interchanging one over against another, then it is the Lord's work to bring forth out of the earth the fruitfulness. And so that bride, as she is saying, awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden. No, do not blow so violently upon that garden, as so that the garden will be uprooted, and so that garden will be destroyed. No, but wilt thou come, and wilt thou blow gently, as it were, upon my garden, softly, as much as that garden that is able to bear, and what will be just good, what will be just right for my garden. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden. That is now the request, we say, of that bride. That is the request of the bride that has received self-knowledge, that knows what is necessary also in order to receive self-knowledge in her life. Awake, O north wind. What is the bride asking for? Or is she asking for trials? Is she asking for tribulations in her life? Is she asking for difficulties in her life? That is actually a difficult question. We know that of ourselves we do not ask for difficulties and trials. No, we ask always for prosperity. Nor, congregation, ought we to ask for difficulties and trials in our life. Because difficulties and hardships of themselves will do nothing but bring forth rebellion in our heart against the Lord. But now there is a people for whom that inactivity in their garden is a great burden. That is to them a cross. They have known a different time in their life. And they desire with all their heart that they may receive a different time again. And they feel that they are not able to bring this forth in their own heart. And they know and that sometimes it is necessary for the Lord to bring them in those places that they would not bring themselves. And therefore, what are they asking here? They are asking not for trials necessarily, but they are saying, Lord, oh, wilt thou do what is necessary? Wilt thou do as thou seest fit? But wilt thou only work through? Wilt thou not leave me over to myself? And wilt thou not leave me in this awful condition of barrenness and of dryness and of seeming deadness, so that I do not even know if thou hast ever begun within my heart? Oh no, that bride, she is not asking for her own destruction. She is not desiring that utter condemnation. No, that is nothing but what the devil places in the heart of a man. But that bride, she is asking here both for the north and that south wind, because she knows that both of them are necessary, not because of the side of the Lord, but they are necessary because of who and what she is and what she remains. What did Jeremiah say? Oh Lord, correct me. Do we ever ask for this? Oh Lord, correct me. But what does he say? But not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. What did Agur say? He said, Lord, feed me with food that is convenient for me. Oh, convenient in thine eyes, so that I would not sin against thee, but that there may be activity also in my own soul. What does Paul say? We glory in tribulations also. Why? Because tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope that maketh not ashamed. The north wind that is a wind of a conviction, that is a wind that is opening up the wretchedness that is lying within our heart. That is that wind that is showing to us the reality that is from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That is that wind that is producing a self-loathing, the abhorrence of myself, oh wretched man that I am. And there is a people that I wish they could come back there. Oh, to confess how wretched, how sinful, to feel it, to have an impression of it living in my heart. But she does not ask only for that north wind. No, she is asking here also for that south wind. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. So first, she says, awake, O north wind. Afterwards, the south. Why? Well, there is an order. It is the north wind that is making place for that south wind. Is there sometimes, parents, when you must correct your children? Is there sometimes also a south wind that may blow, that your children may feel something? How that the chastisements, they are not out of wrath, but that they are flowing out of the love of your heart. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. O that south wind, that is a wind that is bringing warmth, that is bringing heat, so that those hard clods, frozen clods of dirt, that they are now melting. And when that water is melting, then that earth that is full of moisture. Oh, congregation, did you ever feel something of that south wind? Did you ever feel something of that melting of the Spirit of the Lord? That hard, that cold heart that lays within you. That it may melt, that it may be drawn by the loving kindness of the Lord, that the goodness of the Lord may lead you to repentance, that you may come in your inner chamber, and there you may lay before the Lord in all your wretchedness. Oh, did you ever experience something of that hidden, that irresistible force of the Holy Spirit working within your soul? Bringing life within your soul. That is not a fierce gale wind, no. But that is a soft, that is a gentle alluring. Samuel. That south wind. That is an answer upon that north wind. That south wind that is coming upon that north wind of conviction. That south wind that is as balm in that wounded conscience. That south wind that is the wind that is opening up the mystery of the blessed gospel. That there is pardon for sin. That there is payment for debt. That there is blood for guilt. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Congregation, when we have never known that north wind and that south wind, and then we have never known anything of a planting of a garden of the Lord. But how different. But that bride, even though it became different for her, she still knew of that time when everything was so still again. And when it's so still again, then it cannot be born. And why? Oh, she has a desire. What is that desire? We hear that in our second thought, that there may be fruits. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out. Thus, here is the reason that that bride, she desires that that Holy Spirit is working in her garden. Why? That the spices may flow out. What are the spices? The spices, they are the graces, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They are planted by the Lord. But those graces and gifts that are given unto that true church are not always in exercise. Sometimes they are like the ashes that are lying so still. Then there is no more fire that is burning so brightly. But that fire and that heat that is covered over by these ashes. And those ashes, what do they need? In that there may be a flame that is shooting up once again, and that the heat and that the fire of the Spirit of the Lord may be felt. Well, then it is necessary that someone is blowing upon those ashes. It is necessary that someone is stirring them up, and that is moving them around, that the graces, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit may again be evident in the fire of the Lord, that the spices thereof may flow out. Oh, there is a church, there is a bride that cannot make those spices flow out. There is a bride that is not able to do this for herself and who needs the operation of that Holy Spirit to do it for her. She could not plant that garden. No, and she is not the one that waters that garden, and she is not the one that blows upon that garden. And it is so experienced to be so in the life of that true church of God. That is not only a helplessness in the beginning, but it is a helplessness the whole way. It is the whole life of the blessed church. And that is the way of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord, He will hear the cry of that church from above. And then it is that Savior of that people, and that is going to receive all the honor and all the glory. Oh, she is going to cry out, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, and make my garden now fruitful. I cannot bring forth fruit, O Lord." Oh, that fire of love. When that Holy Spirit begins to blow again, oh, then that fire of love that is again burning with a bright flame. How was it with those disciples when they went to Emmaus? Oh, did our heart burn within us when He talked with us by the way? Oh, when the Lord is blowing with His Spirit, then those tears of contrition, and they are again beginning to flow. Then they have experienced in their life that they cannot make one tear to flow out of their eyes. And they cannot make their heart to mourn. But then when that Spirit is again blowing, oh, it is against Thee. Thee only have I sinned and done all this evil in thy sight. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Why? That the spices thereof may flow out, that mediator may again, oh, that he may again be precious in my eyes, that he may indeed be to me altogether lovely, that he may again be to me, that it may be felt, that it may be experienced, that it may be lived out in my life. We indeed justly, we received a due reward of our deeds, and yet that we may say, "Lord, remember me." Oh, awake, O north wind, and blow thou south. Why? Oh, that those spices may flow out, that the honor of the Lord, that again may be brought so into the foreground in my life. that it was as it was in former days when rivers of water ran down my eyes because they did not keep thy law. Oh, people of the Lord, how is it? Can you bring out those spices? That the spices thereof may flow out, that it may become evident, that it may become manifest within that whole church of God, that it may become evident and manifest that there is a church of God, that there is a garden. Oh, that the spices may flow out. When that wonder that the Lord will perform in the life of a miserable and a wretched creature, that may be heard out of my mouth again, that it may be heard in my conversation, that it may be seen in my life, in the front of my own children and my own spouse, in front of the whole congregation. Oh, when that candlestick, when that a candle may be set upon that candlestick, and when that light that may be set upon an hill, and when that others may be made so jealous of that work of the Lord, that the spices thereof may flow out, that the graces of the Lord, that they may increase, that they may grow, and that I may ever come lower in the dust of self-abasement before thee. Oh, that the honor of the Lord, oh, that I may live it out in my life, and that my life may be more conformed to thy will and to thy good pleasure. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let us sing Psalter 164, 2, 3, and 4. I long, as in the times of old, thy power and glory to behold within thy holy place. Because thy tender love I see, more precious far than life to me, my lips shall praise thy grace. My lips shall praise thy grace. 2, 3, and 4 of Psalter 164. Our third thought, that there may be enjoyment in her garden. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. The Lord Jesus has gone away. He has gone away into heaven. He has gone away with his physical body. But we read in our catechism what is the faith that is in the life of the church. Because of the promise of the Lord that he is with his majesty, grace, his Godhead, his Spirit, he is at no time absent from his people. And yet there are times and seasons in the life of the church, so that there are times when they may have an impression of his presence. There are times when he may be feelingly and believingly in their midst. And then there are times when they have no such impression. There are times when they must miss that felt communion with the Lord. And now the Lord Jesus has expressly promised unto his disciples that he would send his Spirit unto them after that he was himself gone away into heaven. And now what does the bride say? Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. That is now that waiting church. That waiting church that is asking for the presence, the felt presence of the Lord. That he may manifest from heaven his love. That he may manifest his grace from above. That he may reveal to them the secret of his heart. And the intention of his heart to show mercy and to show grace unto her. Oh, when those fruits, they are brought to ripeness, and then they are enjoyed by whom? Boys and girls, who is it that goes into the garden to pick those ripe fruits? Oh, then it is the owner of that garden. And so, what is this bride asking for? She says, let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Oh, when those gifts, when those graces of the Holy Spirit, they are being put into exercise once again. When those spices, they are flowing out, then it is well-pleasing. To whom? That is well-pleasing not only to that bride, no, that is well-pleasing also unto the Lord himself. And the bride, she says, they are thy own pleasant fruits, O Lord. Why? because they are the fruits of his own labors. These are the fruits of the mediatorial labors of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the fruits of the working of the Holy Spirit in a personal way within the heart of his own church. Thus, what is coming from him, that is all returning unto him again. Why? Because those branches, and they are engrafted into that living vine, and that is the sap of that vine that is flowing forth into these branches. That is why the Lord says to his church, from me is thy fruit found. All that comes from that old man that is not pleasant unto the Lord, and that is a grief unto that church of God. But all that is brought forth by the working, by the power of that Holy Spirit, and the activity of faith that is pleasing unto the Lord, that is his pleasant fruits. Oh, pleasant fruits. Why? Because he desires his own glory. And he himself is the object of the faith of the church. He is the object of their love. He is the object of their affections, even though they oft have sinned against him. O, lovest thou me? Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, he is the object of their love. He is the object of all their desires, even though they have been jealous sometimes of the portion of the wicked, even though they have been jealous of those that do not fear God, and still within their heart they must say, Lord, whom have I in heaven but thee? And whom have I on the earth beside thee? Pleasant fruits. Oh, and the heart may go out after him with such longings. Oh, he is the object of all their hope. He is the object of all their expectations. After he has broken down all the hope and all the expectation that they can find here in this world, and all the hope and expectation that they used to have within themselves. Oh, now they say, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Oh, pleasant fruits. He is the object of all their boasting, and of all the honor and the glory that new life can bring forth. Oh, in God, we boast all the day long, and we will praise thy name forever. Oh, congregation, how is it now in our own hearts? Oh, is there a garden of the Lord in our heart? A garden of the Lord in our heart. Is there a garden, boys and girls? Pretty soon, maybe you are going to plant a garden. And then you are going to look for the pleasant fruits of that garden. And when you will do so, children, then I hope that this word of God may come back to you. May come back to you. When you begin to dig, and when you begin to loosen up that soil, when you begin to plant, and every time that you are watering that garden, then I hope that this word of God may come back into your mind, and that this word of God may strike you in your heart, that there may be a cry when you may plant your garden, that you say, Lord, wilt thou also plant a garden? Wilt thou now also plant a garden within my heart? Then that garden, that will not bring forth fruits all by itself, no. No, then it will take work. It will take work for you in your garden. And then it takes much work of the Holy Spirit also in his garden. And that true work of God, they know it takes work. They know it takes work from the side of the Lord. in that garden of their heart. There is a Christianity that it all comes from man. There is a rich young ruler. He had many fruits. All this have I kept from my youth up. He had his fruits. And he had the strength in his hands and his legs. He could do it. That is not the experience of the true church of God. Here is now the bride, and she has to confess how different it is in her life. And she has to cry. She has to cry. Who is that? That is not the daughters of Jerusalem. They are not just the beginners. No, that is the bride. That is the experienced church of God. And she says, awake. Awake, O north wind. Come thou south, O people of the Lord. Is it not that you must, as it were, awaken the Lord? Oh, that you must say, Lord, awake. Why so still? Why so still upon my garden? Why so still, Lord, upon the garden of our congregation? Why hear it be not more? Why is there not a cry more? Why is there not those that we can see whose life that is turned around? That the Lord has said to this young person, to that old man, so far and no further. Awake. Awake, Lord. Come. Awake, O north wind. And come, thou south wind. Congregation, may the Lord give to us an earnest supplication. This is now what those disciples had to do. The Lord Jesus went away. Next week, then we hope to commemorate Pentecost, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 people. What went before Pentecost? Oh, may what went before Pentecost, oh, may that go before also in our congregation, that we may come upon our knees, that we may be brought to beseech and to not let the Lord go, except he will bless us. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it was the desire of thy church already long ago. It was in the heart of thy servant Solomon. He couldn't bring it forth. Lord, in thy church that remains the same, and that is a church that is brought to beg, and that is to the last breath of their life. Lord, may thou remember us too. We are not in that time anymore. We are now in the end times. And Lord, we beseech thee, could it please thee, to look upon us as a congregation and to give us an earnest supplication that we could not let thee go except thou would bless us. That is thy work, Lord. Thou art a prayer giving, prayer hearing, and a prayer answering God. May thou give it then, that there may be something to hear, and that there may also be a blessing to give. Lord, we beseech thee in the forgiveness of all that is sinful, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 220, stanzas 1, 3, 5 and 6. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. in might come and save us. Thy people restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. 1, 3, 5, and 6 of Psalter 220. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.